We're so glad to have you this morning. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we begin? Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you and we just thank you for this wonderful morning and this opportunity to come and worship your name and just to magnify you, God. I pray that this service would be a blessing to all of us and that we would just be able to receive everything with an open heart and an open mind and just take it away. And Jesus, now I pray, amen. We're going to start with Holy, 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 so would you stand as we sing?
Welcome to First Baptist Church Traditional Service. This is not Joel and Ken. It's Carson and Paul. We're the team that has hair. So, I think, is the first time that Ken and Joel have been away on the same Sunday for many, many years. But they've been out of town for a wedding. On the way back, we want to pray for them, for their traveling safety, but Carson and Micah led the early service. Did a great job, Carson, and appreciate you. Appreciate Micah. And if you're visiting with us today, let me just invite you to mill around and shake hands with others. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we appreciate you being here today. So God bless you as you fellowship. Thank you.
be seated now. Our offertory hymn is... I jumped ahead. Our next hymn is going to be 343, Amazing Grace.
I heard that. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. And Father, now as we come to this Thanksgiving season, we pray, dear Father, that each of us would remind ourselves of all the many things that you have done for us. We ask this morning, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with our service, men and women, who'll be separated from their families on this holiday season. We just ask, Father, that you watch over them, care for them, protect them, and be with their families and loved ones. Now, Father, as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion that you have so graciously and generously given to us, bless the gift and bless the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. Of course, in your dear name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
This morning I want to share a song. It's one of my absolute favorites. It's really a testimony of hope, and just to know that you are made for more. So,
I know who I am, 'cause I know of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven, and I have a future, and it's worth living. shame when a fountain of grace is running my way. I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. And I have a future, and it's worth living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending the grave. I was born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for
Amen. Thank you, Carson. Appreciate the way that he leads us, and he sings and smiles at the same time. Carson is a blessing and has been for a long time, ever since he was on, the intern program. And so, thanks, Carson. Appreciate it. I want you to take your Bibles and or your bulletin and turn to Psalm 100. It's the scripture on the front of the bulletin. I asked Karen last week, I said, you know, what's going to be on the front of the bulletin? And she told me, I said, well, that'd make a good message. So turn to Psalm 100, and here's what the scripture has to say. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this wonderful word that we find in Psalm. We thank You, Lord, for the fact that it encourages us to gather together in happiness and in fellowship, one with the other, as the body of Christ. And Lord, as we approach the Thanksgiving season, we're so thankful for so much. You've been so good to us. You blessed us. We want to thank You for that. And Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful grace to us and the love that You have bestowed upon us. And yet, while we were yet sinners, You died for us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage, we see what a privilege we have to gather together each Sunday in joy and in praise. And God would have all of His people to be rich in joy and happiness when they worship the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are joint heirs with Christ in God's blessings. And so we share. I know we all look different, and we come in different backgrounds and so forth. But you know, we have a common bond, and that common bond is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's some things that we can be thankful for. Now, I know that as we gather around the Thanksgiving table, that we will have things that are obvious to us, thankful for the food, of course, for our families, for where we live, for all of the things that God has given to us and allowed us to accumulate. We thank God for that. But basically, first and foremost, we thank God for His grace. We thank God for His grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 says, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and God's gift that came by the grace of one man, that is Jesus Christ, to overflow to many?" So through one man, Adam, we died. We died in our sins. In fact, I was reading a few months ago that during the course and the history of the world, that there has been over 100 billion people who have lived on the earth and have died. And so I thought, being kind of a math type of guy, I thought, each person, we'll just say they average 6 feet, the box they're going to put us in, 6 feet. And if you laid them end by end, how far would it stretch? 100 billion people. So it would go from Gunnersville over to the West Coast, over past Hawaii. In fact, we've been on a mission trip, and the Pacific Ocean is a big body of water. You can fly for hours and hours and not cross it. But then you'd have to extend it around halfway around the world, and then come back to Gunnersville, all the way around the world, just lining these boxes up that we're in. And not only would you have to do that, but you would have to go around the world 147 times to represent everybody who has ever died on this earth. And you see, that points out to me at least the seriousness, the great magnitude of what our sins represent. Because the Bible says, in Adam, all die. And so we thank God for His grace, for the one man, Jesus Christ, who came to overflow us with His blessings so that we might live and live forever. One man sinned and one man redeemed. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We should be thankful that we do not have to earn and to work for that grace that God has given to us. Because there's one thing for sure, we will all fail to earn our way to heaven. Because the Bible says it's not by works. So not only do we thank God for His grace, but also for His forgiveness. You know, we've all lived long enough to know the sweetness of forgiveness. When we have done something wrong and when we receive forgiveness from somebody, or when it's been reversed the other way, forgiveness is such a wonderful blessing. And God has forgiven us of every sin that we've ever committed. He has loved us through all of those struggles and trials and temptations and all of the difficulties that we've ever experienced. He has forgiven us from where we have failed. So He forgives us, and I'm thankful for that. He also gives us eternal hope. You know, it would be one thing if He gave us grace and forgiveness, but then we didn't have any hope. There was no future beyond the grave. Yet the Scripture says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, because Jesus promised, I go to prepare a place for you. When we consider the unspeakable gift that we have in Jesus Christ, we cannot help but to be thankful, because we are not worthy. We are entrenched in our sin, and we are with no hope without God. But God has sent us hope through Jesus Christ. The more that Jesus Christ loves us, the more that we have to be thankful for. The more that we see Jesus Christ lifted up, our heads should bow in thankfulness, because He has given us all of those many blessings. We can also be thankful for God's provisions. God's provision. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. And I want you to know that as I look around this room, I can see where God has blessed all of us abundantly. He has allowed us so many blessings just from being in this country, from being in this community. But for being in Christ is the most tremendous provision that He has given to us. And God blesses us. And why does He do it? He blesses us so that we can be involved in every good work. So He gives us divine provision. He gives us the strength to do what He calls us to do. And I'm a firm believer that when God saves you, He gives you a purpose in life. And He gives you a reason to live. And He gives you the eternal hope that He gives you the provision. And God blesses us as we find out when we discover what God wants us to do. And He cares for us and He provides for us in so many ways. Early in life, and I think I've shared this illustration, we know two things about sermons. People remember the illustrations and they remember the humor. Well, you may remember this illustration, but when I was in college, it was kind of lean times. I was in a Christian college in Clearwater, Florida, and did my own laundry. And in fact, my mama gave me advice before I left for school. And it was a strict Christian college. I mean, really, really strict, even for that day. My mama gave me advice. He says, find you a girlfriend that knows how to do laundry. And I did, and she knows how to do laundry. But the college had a rule against that. We were forbidden to do that, to use students. So anyway, I had my dad's old World War II duffel bag full of dirty clothes, and it was hot in Clearwater, no air conditioning in this school. And so it was time for me to do laundry. And so I didn't have the money. I mean, like I say, it was lean times. I did yard work around the school for people, but just paying the tuition, you know, just kind of out of money. So anyway, I'm walking. It's about 10 blocks. Didn't have a car at that time, that particular year, the first year. And I needed to do my laundry, and it was about 10 blocks down to this laundromat, and there was a sweet elderly lady that worked there. And I thought, you know, surely I could go down there and I can kind of, you know, tell her my plight, and she'll loan me a dollar. And I'd have change left over back then. And so I kept walking. I thought, well, maybe somebody will pick me up. Maybe somebody will give me a ride, and, you know, I can tell them my plight. And so, you know, that didn't happen. So I walk up to the laundromat, and bless her heart, she was off that day. So I was just there. This laundromat was kind of an open-air thing, and there was probably, I'd say, probably 30 or 40 different washers and the big dryers on the back wall. And the washing machines were 25 cents a piece for a load. Now, that's the old days, isn't it? Isn't that the good old days? So I needed two washers and two dryers. They were a dime. So I need 70 cents, if my math's right. And so I figured, well, I'll just kind of sit around and wait and, you know, hit somebody up. And so that didn't happen. First time in several months that nobody else had been there. I said, well, I'll just do something crazy. So I opened up the washer, and like I say, nobody was there. It was the first washer that I opened up, and there was two quarters and two dimes in the bottom that had come out of somebody's laundry. And I said, God, that must be your provision. You know, I was trying to conjure up all of these schemes to figure out how to do it, and yet all the time God knew how it was going to work out. I never knew who left it or lost it in that machine, but it did leave me with an illustration that God will provide. He will make a provision if we're trying to do His will. And so we see His grace, we see His forgiveness, we see His provision, we see answered prayer. Aren't you glad that God hears and answers prayer? Yes, the scripture says in Matthew, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Yes, we have somebody to talk to as Christians. We can be in the middle of a wilderness. We can be in the middle of a spiritual desert. But we have somebody to talk to. We have somebody to talk to that we know is listening to us. Yes, the one that gives peace and grace also gives comfort. And so we have answered prayer. And I'm sure if we had time for testimonies that many of you could stand up and you could say, yes, I know what answered prayer is like in my life. And so God loves us and He cares for us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life, for godliness, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, we've been privileged to have God reach out and touch us with a call on our life where He says, Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Isn't that something for us to be thankful for? It is for me, because I don't know where I would be without answered prayer. And then we see the fellowship of believers. I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad that you're here, because we get to encourage one another. We get to fellowship with one another. And one of the purposes of the church is that of fellowship and encouragement with other believers. For we never know what burden anybody in this room walks into this room this morning with on their heart. We just don't know what they're thinking about and what they're struggling with. And yet, through the fellowship of believers and the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ, we can see the hand of God working in our lives on a personal basis as we comfort one another and as we encourage one another. Which leads us to peace. I am thankful for the peace that God gives us. Who is it that gives peace? Well, let him tell you in His own words. In John 14:27, Jesus Himself said, Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. Yes, He's given us the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of His grace, but He's also given us the gift of His peace that lasts as long as we live. These words spoken by Jesus, who was on His way to the cross of Calvary, and He was very near that time when He would die on the cross for my sins and for yours. And yet He says, I'm going to give you peace. His disciples, of course, they were all confused. They were upset. They were trying to figure out what was going to be next in their lives, and yet Jesus says, You've got peace. And you and I are thankful today because we have peace. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful menu of items that we have this season to thank God for. He loves us and He cares for us. If you're here today and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, you've never received that grace that only God can give, and you want to trust Christ as your Savior, at the end of this message, I'd like to ask you to come forward and to just let me know that, and we'll share some scripture. And if you want to join the church, if you want to rededicate your life, you want to come for prayer, whatever your need is, I'm going to ask that you come and respond and let God meet your needs today. Let's pray. Father, we'd like to pause and thank You for Your love, and we thank You for the Thanksgiving season when we thank You for all of the things that You have given to us and that You have provided for us, and we just want to thank You for that. Thank You for a time that ushers in a very busy time in our lives, but never, Lord, help us to never forget the real reason why we are celebrating You, and that is through thanksgiving for all that you've done. So, Father, I just pray that you'll just touch the hearts of any who are here today that need to know more about you or to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our invitational hymn is going to be I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, hymn number 602.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind
Thank you. You may be seated for a moment. I forgot to mute my mic during the singing of the invitation, so I hope it wasn't too bad out there. Let's see, we have some announcements. Yes, last Sunday night was a real blessing during the ordination of Warren Jones. So you see a picture of them there. So when you see Warren, be sure to tell him that you're praying for him. Okay, next. Christmas Bazaar, I went to that last night, so I think it's already taking place, okay? Christmas brunch, okay, mature adults, it's going to be a time of blessing, and so if you have any questions or if you'd like to sign up, you know where the sign-up list is, okay? All righty, Carson, you want to speak to this one?
I'm not exactly sure on all the details, but the First Baptist Gunnersville, Albertville, and Boaz are going to be doing a Christmas special on December the 15th at 5 p.m. at the Bevel Center.
It's going to be here. Right, it's going to be here.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So if you can come, that'd be awesome. I think we have tickets available, but it's for free. It's just so we have an idea of who's going to be here, right? There you go. All right.
But for $5, I can get you all the tickets you want. So. All righty, Mike has done a great job of the Christmas boxes, the shoe boxes, Operation Christmas Child, I think they call it. And you have responded wonderfully. But you have a further opportunity to go on December the 19th over to the big sorting center over in Atlanta to sort the boxes, and they have to be checked before they go out, so that in case somebody has put something in there that shouldn't be there, or add some things in case the box is lacking. So if you want to go see Micah, there's, I think, 15 spots available. Okay. Next, I can't read that, but I think it has to do with the youth and their outflow coming up the next four Wednesday nights. Carson, thanks again, Brady. We love you. We appreciate you. And if you'll lead us out of the service musically, we'll appreciate it.
Sounds good. We're going to close with hymn number 815, the Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings.